So let's set the scene. We're in January 2026, and numbers we're seeing in the Australian financial landscape are, frankly, a bit staggering.
They're pretty wild.
I mean, we're looking at mortgage brokers now handling, what is it, a record 77.6% of all new residential loans.
That's nearly 8 out of every 10. It's total dominance of the credit market. But there's a huge catch here, and it's really the reason for this deep dive.
You're talking about the advice gap.
Exactly. While brokers have completely won the distribution war, there's this massive vacuum opening up right next to them.
Yeah, the number of licensed financial advisors has just cratered. It's under 15,500 now.
And the cost to get advice, if you can even find someone, the median fee has spiked to nearly $5,000.
So professional advice is basically a luxury good now. You've got this whole middle market of Australians with big mortgages, but they're completely priced out of getting help.
And that's the tension. But the good news is the regulatory landscape has finally shifted to, well, try and solve this. We're seeing the Delivering Better Financial Outcomes reforms, the DBFO, come into play.
Right. And this is what's letting brokers pivot into more of a private wealth model.
The idea.
Okay, let's unpack that. The reforms came in tranches. Tranche one was basically the bonfire of red tape, right?
It was. The big headline there was killing the old fee disclosure statement, the FDS.
Which was a massive annual headache.
A total administrative nightmare. It's now just a simple forward-looking consent form, much cleaner.
Mm.
But honestly, tranche two is the real story here.
This is where the service itself actually changes.
100%. Yeah. Because tranche two killed the statement of advice, the SOA.
The infamous 50-page doorstop.
Or the $5,000 legal compliance shield that, let's be honest, no client ever actually read. It was broken.
And its replacement is the client advice record, the CARR.
Yeah, think of it as like the condensed version. It's scalable, it's in plain English, and it just focuses on here's the advice and here's why.
So it shifts the whole focus from did we cover ourselves legally to did we actually help the client?
Precisely.
And this ties into that new class of professional we're seeing, doesn't it?
The new class of advisor.
Yeah.
This is huge for making advice accessible. It means staff with a diploma that's an AQF level 5 can now give simple advice.
So we're talking things like insurance, super contributions.
Exactly. A brokerage can now charge a really transparent, smaller episode fee for that kind of specific help without needing a full-blown financial planner on the books.
That just completely changes the business model. You can actually afford to serve the middle market again.
You can.
So with these regulatory walls down, what does the strategy actually look like? Because with interest rates sitting around, 6 or 7%, just getting a low rate isn't the big value add anymore.
No, the rate's a commodity now. The value is in strategic loan structuring.
Hmm.
We're seeing a massive comeback for debt recycling.
So that's taking your non-deductible home loan debt and converting it into tax-deductible investment debt.
Spot on. And things like split loan strategies, where you're balancing the security of a fixed rate with the flexibility of an offset account. It's about designing the structure, not just finding a product.
We're even seeing business owners use their self-managed super funds to buy their own commercial buildings.
Turning rent into super contributions, it's a very powerful move.
Yeah.
But the key is the broker doesn't have to be the expert on everything.
They're the GP, the general practitioner.
That's the model. They diagnose the client's needs, they structure the credit, and then they bring in the specialists, the planners, the lawyers, for the execution.
Okay, I want to touch on the how, though, because even with less paperwork, this sounds complicated. This is where the AI native broker comes into the picture.
It's the engine room. And we're not just talking about, ChatGPT writing a few emails. This is agentic AI. Meaning you have systems that can autonomously draft those client advice records we were talking about. And on the back end, you have intelligent document processing.
So it's scanning payslips, tax returns.
Instantly. And it's spotting inconsistencies a human might miss. Like, wait, why are there no payroll deductions on this payslip? It flags things.
But I'm guessing all this efficiency comes with a pretty big warning label.
A huge one. The paperwork is easier, but ASIC is watching the best interest duty, the BIDI, more closely than ever.
So just because an AI can draft the advice record, that doesn't mean you stop checking it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And you have to be so vigilant about fraud. The AI can flag things like an employer's address being the same as the borrower's or documents missing digital watermarks. Those are massive red flags. The standard of care hasn't dropped.
It really feels like we're moving away from a purely transaction-focused industry. Here's your loan. See you in 3 years.
To what you'd call a credit advice continuum.
A continuum. I like that. The broker stops being just a channel for money and becomes the architect of your entire liability structure.
And that leads to a pretty interesting conclusion, right?
It does. If AI is handling the loan lodgment and the new laws have simplified how you record the advice, then the real value of the human advisor is now almost purely in the design of your financial future.
The empathy, the strategy, everything else gets automated.
So the question we want to leave you with today is this. In a world where all the administration becomes invisible, what does your financial design actually look like?